Welcome, 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 everyone. We're so glad to have you guys joining us again. Welcome to our sixth episode of our podcast, Failing to Freedom. And today we have a great, great show for you today. My name is Walner, and I'm with...
My name's Katasi.
The lovely Katasi. And we're happy to have you guys here with us, joining us. And our title for today is... How we made our first $15,000.
Wow. That's a pretty heavy title. Do you want to tell them what this podcast is about in general first, though?
Well, yes. Failing to Freedom, this is a podcast that Katasi and I started where we want to share our journey through real estate with you guys. We want to tell our story and how we got started and how we're in the pursuit for financial freedom. So in essence, this is what it's about. We want to share information with anyone out there who may be looking to get into real estate or looking to get into business for themselves and to make a difference in their lives.
Yeah, so we're real estate investors, and this is our story. And today we want to share with you how we made our first $15,000. That's 15,000. Yeah, so our first ever transaction
landed... Do you even remember that, Tom?
I do. I do.
It was such a good day. It was one of those...
It was exciting.
Right. It was definitely one of those, okay, this is for real.
Yeah, it lit a fire.
Right, it lit a fire. So how about you start us off and tell us how it all began?
You start us off.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I should start us off. After all, it was me who made the connections.
Okay, anyways.
So, how we made our first $15,000. I remember it like it was yesterday. So, back in... This was 2014.
15.
Right, 15. But it was 2015. We incorporated our company January of 2015, and this first deal came in 5 months later in May.
Mm-hmm.
So it was about 12:30 midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was in my bed, and I remember at the time I was just skimming through our company email. Just making sure that I got through everything for the night. And last minute, around midnight, an email came in that there was a guy who was selling two properties, one in downtown Raleigh and the other one in a different location.
It was just downtown Raleigh.
And when it came in...
The email said both of them?
Yes. When it came in... it was already late, but I figured, you know, it just came in, so this person must still be awake. So I decided to give them a call. Of course, I got no answer, but I hung up, and then I realized I didn't leave a message. So I called back and got the answering machine again, and I just left them a message, told them, hey, I just got your email. I'm interested in the property. I'd love to take a look at it as soon as possible. Let me know if you have time tomorrow. So I left it at that, and that was the night. So the next morning, while I was at work at my day job at the hospital, I got a phone call, and it was the guy, and he told me that he'd be at the property. He'd be at the downtown property today in the afternoon if I was interested in taking a look at it. Of course, I told him yes, but I'd be at work, but I can have my partner get in contact with him and meet him there. So it was then that I shot Katasi a text and let her know, hey, here's his number. If you can just contact him and make that connection and get up with him in the afternoon. And you took it on from there, huh?
Yeah. So when I was at work, we had said before, I had quit my job out the gate, so I had been doing real estate full-time since January, and we didn't get a deal until May. But that's just the ropes. That's fine.
Right.
So it's our first, you know, we had looked at a bunch of houses, but, you know, this one was when we got off Craigslist. We had never got a deal off of Craigslist before, or a lead. I'll say not a deal. It was a lead at this point.
Right.
So I go meet him at the house. We were working with a realtor at the time, who was specific to that, to the Raleigh area.
Right.
And I called her up and I said, we're going to, I have a house. I would like you to meet me there. You know, I would like you to do the research, find out the value of the house,
right,
have all that information before we look at it. So she got her research together. We met at the property. We met with the seller and my realtor and myself. We looked at the property. On the side, away from the seller, me and the realtor were talking about how much the house could be worth if it was fixed up. I was assessing repairs for myself because at that point we had practiced assessing repairs. So she had the market analysis. I was doing the repairs. And we just started asking and negotiating with the seller what he was looking for the property. So he gave us a price for the property.
Right.
And he also mentioned, and hey, I have another property in Wake Forest. Wake Forest is about 30 minutes from Raleigh. I have another property over there. I have a lot of offers on this property because this property was in a very hot investing area. So he's saying, I have a lot of offers on this property.
Right.
My other property isn't getting that much traffic. I would give priority to somebody who's willing to buy both at the same time.
Right.
So I was like, okay, well, we came prepared to look at this property, but I'm not going to turn down a chance for the other property.
Right.
So we said, yeah, let us set up a time to look at the other one so we can make you an offer on both.
And this one was in downtown Wake Forest.
Yes.
Right.
The other property was in downtown Wake Forest. The hot property was in downtown Raleigh. A property being in downtown Raleigh is enough for you to get out your house and go look because it's
exactly
a very hot area.
Exactly.
Downtown Wake Forest is not as hot as downtown Raleigh as far as popularity. That doesn't mean it's a bad investment. It just means that, you know, it's
right,
not a buzz,
right,
a buzzword when people say downtown Wake Forest. So what ended up happening is we actually found out what we were willing to pay for the Raleigh house.
Right.
We found out what we were willing to pay through market analysis, repair analysis. We got our number on that.
Right.
So we were waiting to see the second house to see, you know, what we would pay for that.
Right.
So the next day, I believe, Wanda, you were able to come that the next day to go look at the second house.
Yes. Yes. I was able to look at East Pine and we ran through it.
It was a disaster.
It was a disaster. Yeah, it was bad. But the house in Raleigh, the downtown house, was enough to offset that. So
yeah,
we still went ahead and made an offer.
Yeah, because the house in downtown Wake Forest was actually a teardown, as in, like, you couldn't use, the foundation was horrible.
Right. It was a complete,
you have
complete
to tear
down.
So you're basically buying a plot of land.
Exactly.
Because you're going to have to rebuild, scratch the house and build a new one. So, yeah, so we ended up making our offer.
Mm-hmm. We made
he wanted
offer.
120 for downtown Raleigh, and he wanted 30 for the Wake Forest house.
Right. So in total, that came to about
150.
Yeah, 150 for both.
For both. But we told him, like, hey, the house is horrible. It's going to be a teardown, so we can't use what's already there, which means there's more cost.
Exactly.
So we ended up negotiating down the house in
Wake Forest.
In Raleigh, we ended up negotiating from 120 to 115.
Correct, right.
And then we ended up negotiating 30 down to, was it 14?
Yeah, something around in the 14 range.
Let me do this math real quick, y'all.
Right, so after that, once we decided, we came to an agreement.
19.
Right, we came to an agreement on the price. And after that, we got ourselves together where we were going to have an inspection done to both properties. And we got together with...
One thing that's important to point out is that we bought these properties. We intended to renovate them and sell them. We intended to go in there, fix them up, sell them. Now, we don't have money.
Right, at the time, right, we did not have funds to do a purchase in a rehab.
And currently, at this time, we still don't have money to do. But we had a financial partner. We had a financial partner who was an engineer in Chapel Hill. He had lots of money, not a lot of time to do real estate. He was very interested in real estate, though. He went to a lot of conventions. He also, he didn't have time, and he had a family to take care of. He had a demanding full-time job, but he was very interested in getting into the game. So when we brought him these two really good deals, he said, yeah, I'll fund it 100%. We found the homes, and we would manage the projects.
Right. And
so he would never even have to look at them if he didn't want to. Right. He would just have to put his money into it. And we agreed to
split the profits 50-50.
50-50.
So one thing to take from here is that he had a lot of money, but he did not have a lot of time because he had, you know, work obligations. He had family obligations. But on the flip side, on our end, we didn't have a lot of money, but we had a lot of time. So that's what we were bringing to the table as far as a partnership goes. He would be the funding partner. We would be the managing partners.
And we're going to delve in a different podcast on how to invest without
with little to no money.
Uh-huh. We will delve more into that concept. But so he agreed to be our funding partner, and we set ahead to do this rehab. So we started doing inspections, we're having contractors come in and give us their quotes. We were ready to rehab. Now something happened to him personally. It was an urgent emergency. He was no longer financially able to afford the risk of taking on a full renovation.
Right, so
because when you do a renovation, you're talking about time, money. It's not immediate. It's not quick.
Right.
Especially with this, we're talking about building a new house. We're talking about doing a major renovation to bring it up to upper class standards.
Right.
The downtown Raleigh house needed a major renovation to bring it up to upper class standards. The other house needed to be torn down. So this was going to be a very time intensive project.
Right.
And he just couldn't risk. He was no longer in a position to risk his money being out that long. So
he had to back out of that. So we had to end that partnership because of that. And that was a big blow to us because we were looking forward to doing this rehab, this renovation. But, you know, one thing that I do appreciate is that we had another game plan in case this was to happen. And so instead of going through the headache again of, you know, trying to find another funding partner and also assessing the risk that were involved, we decided that we were going to wholesale the property instead of go through with the renovation. And so Katase and I, we sat down, we laid out the game plan, how we were going to market our property. So we did two things. First, being part of our RIA club, which is our real estate investors club here in Raleigh, I built up our buyers list of investors. So I pushed out an email to all of them with specific details about the property and the profit potentials and the rehab estimations, and pushed that out so all of them got an email about the property to see if they were interested. Also, the same way I got the property off Craigslist, I also put a post on Craigslist because investors are always on Craigslist looking for properties as well. And as soon as I did that, it was in the afternoon. Not even 2 minutes later, we got a phone call. We got a phone call not even 2 minutes later, and the investor picked up and said, hey, I'm interested in the property. I'd like to come take a look at them right now. Is that possible? I told her, yes. We'll meet at the property in 15 minutes. And then we'll discuss it once we get there. So we got in our vehicles and we headed to the property. She took a look at it. And of course, we're selling both properties as a package. The same way we got it, we're going to sell it the same way. So she took a look at the property in downtown Raleigh. And then we took a drive over to Wake Forest and looked at the other one. Right then and there, she came with her check. We came with our contract. And she was ready to go. She did her quick analysis. We told her what we were looking for. She had her price as well. We came to a negotiation and we shook hands and we put it under contract. And she, right then and there, she gave us half of the deposit of what we're looking for. And we were going to collect the other half at closing, which was set for 2 weeks after, 2 weeks later.
So to put some numbers to that. So we had got the entire, both properties together for $134,000.
Right.
We then sold it to her. We came to a negotiation.
Right.
Right. No, I'm sorry. We had got the property for $115,000.
Yeah, $115,000 was total.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I messed up the numbers even early in the podcast. We got both properties together for $115,000 total. We sold it to her for $134,000.
Correct.
She wrote us a check at the property for $7,000.
Right.
So if you can see, the difference between $134,000 and $115,000 is $19,000.
Right.
Our realtor, since she had wrote the contracts earlier, because we had went in with a realtor because we intended to rehab them. So you go in with a realtor because it's the same realtor that's going to be selling the house. So you want them with you this every step of the way. So it changes because you're not going to use a realtor to wholesale because that cuts into your profit the way it cut into ours. But from the $19,000, we had to pay our realtor
2.5%.
$4,000. We ended up with $15,000. She cut us a check for $7,000 and we got the $8,000 2 weeks later at closing. Important things that I want to note. We're clearly giving you a quick snapshot of how this process worked. What also that we're not giving you is the buildup. So there, it's not as quick as you just find a property on Craigslist. You look at it, you agree with the price. You sell it to someone else. Those are the steps, but keep some things in mind. For one, things that we had to have before this point. We had to have knowledge of the area that the property was in.
Right.
Because we were excited to look at it, and even our end investor was excited to look at it because we both knew that this was a hot area. If you don't know where the hot areas are, you won't know how to move on properties, how much they could be worth. You won't know if they're worth even the time.
Right. So you won't know if it's even a deal.
Exactly. So prior to ever getting that Craigslist ad, we knew that this area was good. So when we seen a property in that area, we knew, okay, we're going to look at this.
Right.
We knew that the price we're getting for with it was fair.
Right.
Because we had a realtor. We had prior knowledge of that area. These are things we had before this property came along.
Mm-hmm.
What we also had was a buyer's list. When the game plan changed from rehabbing, and it was either find another partner or walk away. The only reason we were able to do this is because we had learned that we could wholesale. We had learned how to wholesale. Walner had taken his time to build up our cash buyer investor list so that we could pass the property off to somebody.
Which I'm glad to say is way over 100 now.
Yeah, we're over 100 investors.
Right. So I'm proud of that personally.
So we had a buyer's list before. We had knowledge of the area before. We knew how to estimate repairs before this. You can't just jump into a property and start figuring it out as you swim in. Please prepare before. You study before. It took us 5 months to get our first property since we incorporated.
Right.
It was really 8 months because we already started this business a little early. We just made it official in January.
Exactly.
But we learned. When you're not making any deals, you should be learning the business. You should be well-equipped so that when something goes wrong, you can quickly change because you both know what you're doing. You both know there's options. and you can find another game plan.
Right.
You have a team in place. If you don't have if you don't have the team, if you don't have the knowledge prior, if you don't know how to estimate repairs, you're just going to be in this property you're going to take advantage of. You can buy it for too much and ruin the deal. So it worked out. It worked out that we bought the property low enough that we could have a $20,000 in between profit potential, and it still makes sense to the end buyer.
Exactly.
Now let me explain to you the difference between this property with selling it, with selling them, and I mean fixing them to sell them, and wholesaling it.
Mm-hmm.
We could have found another partner, or if our partner never pulled out, on the downtown property, we would have spent 3 months fixing it up, spent $120,000. We would have spent, it was around the end of the year, so the market slows down at the end of the year. We would have had to go live in January. The house sold quickly once it went live, but it was still a six-month period until the end investor got their paycheck.
Right.
Now, the end investor got $160,000 out of it at the end, out of the end of that 6 months. But you still risk 6 months worth of time and money.
Right.
You pay for the to buy the property, then she put $120,000 into it. The repairs were $120,000.
Right.
And then you fix it, you list it, it gets sold. 6 months, but she made $165,000.
Right.
The second property, we would have had to build a new house for $160,000. That would have been the total cost to tear it down and rebuild a new one.
Right.
On that property, we would have made $80,000. But after 8 months to a year, because tearing down a property and rebuilding it is a whole different beast.
Right. There's permits involved. The city's involved.
It's a longer process.
It's definitely a long process.
So you can see our partner pulled out because he was in a position where he could no longer financially risk that money for that amount of time, which is understandable. Things happen.
Right.
With the rehabbing and that risk comes huge reward. Of course, it's risk because anything could happen. I mean, if 9/11 happens in the middle of your rehab and everything stops or crashes, that's a problem. If tragedy strikes,
mm-hmm.
But it's a risk. It's a risk you take. You put the money in, you get a huge reward.
Right.
Now we got the property. Within a week, everything fell apart. So we're in this thing for a week. Everything fell apart. Want to post the ad on Craigslist, we get a hit immediately. That day, we get a check for $7,000.
Right.
Now, we're talking about a week here. There was a week's time that we made $7,000, and then we had to just wait two more weeks to make $8,000.
Right.
So, in a three-week period, and when you talk about actively working, like, we definitely spent less than 7 hours on this.
Right.
It wasn't that much.
From going to look at the properties, from showing it to
the investors.
Potential investors, from getting our inspector in there to look at it. And that's running back and forth on to both properties. Total, I'd say about 7 hours worth of work.
7 hours worth of work. And at the end of it all, we made $15,000.
Right.
After all is said and done.
And what do they say about wholesaling and money?
It's the highest paid dollars per hour. Because the active work you actually put into it, we actually spent 7 hours.
Right.
Like, I could have spent 7 hours on this property and slept the rest of the 3 weeks and then got a check.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't come consecutive 7 hours and then you get it. No, you know, you spend an hour here, an hour there, an hour there. But in the end of all, it was a three-week process. In 3 weeks, we had $15,000 right. In our pocket.
One thing I do want to mention as well is that the house sold in less than 2 minutes, but our investor showed up with her checkbook in hand, meaning that she was a serious investor. In this business, you'll deal with a lot of buyers who aren't so serious, but and you'll learn to pick them out. She showed up, she knew what she wanted, and she had the check get ready to be written because she knew what she wanted, and she knew what she was getting into.
And she had the money.
And she had the money.
You either got it or you don't.
Right. You either have the money or you don't. And we've done several deals with her since then.
Yeah. Because we like serious buyers.
Right. We like serious buyers, and that's what. Just like buyers love serious wholesalers. That's what we're in the business for. So again, you use your time wisely, and this right here was our first story of how we made our first $15,000. And till this day, we'll never forget that story, because that's what got us going in our journey. And since then, we've done several deals after that.
Yep.
So we thank you guys for listening. If you have any questions, comments, please email us at failingtofreedom@gmail.com. Follow us on iTunes and SoundCloud. That's where you can hear our weekly podcast. We have it essentially two times a week on Mondays and Thursdays.
And follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram at Failing to Freedom. Thank you all.
Thank you all.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.